You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones. Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today's guest is the fantastic Linda Reynolds. Now, we've known each other for about 3-4 years, I reckon.
Yeah, 4 years we've known each other.
About 4 years. And we're going to be talking about all things travel. We're going to be talking about top tips, misconceptions, trends, and certainly how Linda got into the travel industry. So first of all, thank you very much, Linda, for joining me on the show today.
You're welcome. Lovely to speak to you, Gary, and see you this morning.
Brilliant. So let's start with just tell people a little bit about what you're doing kind of at the moment. How are you helping people before we get into your journey?
I'm a personal travel agent. I've been in the travel industry 31 years this year. And for the last 22 years, I've run my business as a personal travel agent under Abt and Atoll banners with various co-op companies. So all things travel, that's what I've done for the last 23 years, and I love it.
Which is why I've come to you to talk about this, because you know your stuff. You know your stuff. Now, over the last 31 years, it must have changed a hell of a lot. So how did you get into it right back then?
I got into it by pure mistake. So I've worked in various jobs over from the age of 16, and I ended up having my son, and I thought, I'm going to go on the dole, have a rest, look after my child. Went down the job centre, lady very similar to Hattie Jakes, who's a character from Googler, you'll find her, big lady, put me to the door, and she said, look, there's loads of jobs on that board, you're available for full-time work, choose one. So I went up and it said seasonal work, May to September. And I thought, I'll go for that. At the time, I'm dressed in a T-shirt, pair of ripped jeans, and I've got my 8-week-old son in a pram, and I'm rocking him. So this job, it was for Thomas Cook.
Okay.
And basically, the lady rang up Thomas Cook and said, I've got a lady here for your job, and it was a seasonal foreign exchange cashier. So that would be doing all the currencies. Sort of at that time, it would have been 12 different currencies, 24 different types of traveller's checks, plus all the other currencies that you ordered in. And I basically got sent for an interview there and then with a baby. So I'm probably one of the few people that have gone for an interview with my baby in tow.
Wow.
So I walked up to the shop. I met a guy called Gordon Brown, and he was lovely. I said to him, look, I'm brain dead. I've had a baby. I don't want a job, but I've been sent here by the job centre.
Completely honest.
Completely honest. You know, I'm sat there, white T-shirt, ripped jeans, you know, and this, luckily my baby's sleeping very soundly. And he said, we've got a foreign exchange job. Would you like it? I said, well, I've dealt with money. I've done banking, but I'm completely new to this. And we sat for another 10 minutes. And he said to me, bearing in mind, this is sort of like, I don't know, in 89, cashiers didn't leave banks to go and work foreign exchange cashiers from May to September. Okay. Or not the type of cashiers they want. And he said to me, if I don't get another cashier, would you like the job? So I rushed home to my mum and dad and said, do you want to look after an 8-week-old baby? Do you want to look after your grandson? I've been offered a job. And from there, I worked for foreign exchange cashier in Thomas Cook, and used to deal with huge amounts of cash. And at that time, everybody would come in and pay by cash.
Yeah.
A lot of the work was done on the phone. People pick up the phone. And that was my sort of route into it. And I did that for 2 seasons, had another child, and then I got the phone call from the new manager going, help, we need you. We need somebody who knows foreign exchange. We're a really busy exchange. As I live in Rugby, we used to have all the rugger teams come to Rugby.
Okay.
So we'd have quite a lot of tourism into the town at that point. Mm. And she said, would you like to train as a travel agent? And that's what I did. I trained for 9 years. I did 9 years with Thomas Cook. Mm-hmm. Piloted their home working scheme in 97. So that was when the internet came into being and the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
And I did a pilot scheme for them to see, was it viable to work from home? I did that for a year. And then I was picked up by another company called Future Travel, and they used to have the most teletext pages. They used to do 8 million a year.
Hang on. So I can remember teletext because I used to play games on teletext. I think it was page 800 or some stupid like that. But what was, for the people who are listening who don't know what teletext is,
of course, yeah.
How would you describe it?
I suppose it's like a carousel of badly written adverts on your telly with really bad font.
And, oh, you know, so true.
we've got like Canva and all these things now. We put together beautiful, you know, we can put together videos on our phones of all things. These are put together on screens, and you'd have 299 to Mallorca, all inclusive, and a free child thrown in or whatever, literally, and things like that. And people would sit for hours scrolling through their telephone, very much like they do actually with Facebook now, scrolling through, flicking through. They'd scroll through 8 pages, and if you forgot to hold the page of the holiday, you wouldn't. You'd have to wait for the 800 pages to go around again. So it was very much the Facebook of its time, I suppose, when it comes to holidays.
I love that analogy, and it's so true. So true. And I used to check the TV guide on there. Literally, you had to do different sections. I can remember for me as a kid growing up in that time, that was the main entertainment if the TV was not. You know, if we weren't watching something, it'd be on the background and teletext would be there. I digress. So Teletext, Future Travels came up?
Yeah, Future Travels, the name of the company. It was started the same time as David Speakman started Travel Counsellors. The gentleman I worked for, David Elstob, he did a lot of the research into Travel Counsellors, and he started Personal Travel Advisors. And I was one of the first ones that registered with Personal Travel Advisors with the cooperative and Future Travel.
Cool.
And so from there, we developed it. You know, mobile phones at that time in the 90s were 60p a minute. You know, if you think about that now, that is ridiculous. So everything was done by phone. It was dial up on our computers. I'd have a little cartridge, download all the information off my laptop, which was probably the size of 3 house bricks at that point. And that would go to my head office to show the bookings I'd made. And I would drum up my own business. And that's a huge learning curve, because you start from scratch. So where the shop I left in Rugby wouldn't let me take my clients with me, and then that's where you start from the ground level. And it was marketing from scratch. It was getting me out there. So it was old school marketing. It was getting yourself in the newspaper. It was picking up the yellow pages. Anybody that doesn't know what the yellow pages are, that was where you had all your businesses before you had Google. You'd pick up the yellow pages, and it would have all the businesses that you were looking for, from a plumber to a dietitian to a doctor to a travel agent. And I set to work on the groundwork. Who had plenty of money, who was time poor, and that's what I was after. So I contacted estate agents, doctors, anybody that I thought would want a personal service and finding their holiday, and didn't have time to go and sit in a shop for 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday when they should be spending it with their family and friends.
And I love the fact that you mentioned so many really cool points, as well as obviously the yellow pages, but really cool points about working out who your ideal customer was, working out their pain points. And actually, have those customers changed that much during that time?
They haven't, actually. They've become more confident, because none of us can live without a computer now. I mean, how you live at 80, even my dad, 84, will sit on his computer and look at things and do things.
Yeah.
He might not be able to do everything, but he's been literally dragged, kicking and screaming into this world, which we live, that's not going to go back. It's not going to change. So fundamentally, things are stayed the same. People will always want an expert in a field they're looking for.
So, yeah.
You know, everybody can cut their hair, but a hairdresser will always do it better.
True.
And people are time poor, you know. So if you're busy doing your job, do you really want to spend, like I say, 8 hours on your computer looking for a holiday, or letting Google choose your holiday?
Well, let's talk about that for a bit. So obviously the person, the end user, hasn't changed, but the method of them choosing the holiday has changed completely. You said about Teletext to phone, now to internet and Google. So when you say Google chooses a holiday, what exactly do you mean?
A lot of people nowadays will go into their web browser or their search engine, and they'll put, let's say, Madagascar holidays. Who's ever paid or putting out enough input to show they're the expert in that field will come up in the first 4 or 5. And the world we live in now, if you've got enough money, your ad will come up first. Now, I'm not saying for 1 minute those companies that come at the top of that search engine are not good at what they do. But what I'm saying is, a good human being, individual with the expertise and the knowledge of what's out there, will open up a huge world to you. So I regularly Google something, and it comes up with the same 4 or 5 companies that have thrown the most money at their ads, or obviously that are clicked on the most, or do their search engine optimization, etc. But what I'm saying to you as a human being will open up so much more for you. I think there was Mintel did a report into travel, and I think they said it's something like 48% of holidays are not bookable on the internet. You have to speak to an expert or somebody who can either put them together to you, bespoke, tailor make, whatever you want. You know, you can't physically go on and book that whole holiday online. You need the human interaction to pull it all together.
So if you book on holiday, so if I just get this right and sum up what you just said, in a simplistic world, if you go into Google and you book a holiday, you're potentially booking not the best holiday for you. You're booking a holiday that Google has shown you to be either proven to be popular by interaction, by content, or by paid. So therefore, that company's paid for you to do that. It's only going to be 48% of the potential holidays that are going to be available.
Yep.
And actually, it's probably not going to be, I'm making a leap, it's not going to be bespoke to you, because actually that holiday is just 299 to Mallorca or wherever it is for X amount of days. That's literally all the algorithm searches for. Now, have I got it right?
You have. Obviously, you can go into the apps that you've got on your phone, and you can go in and then bespoke your holidays with a lot of these apps.
Yeah.
But it's, so if you're doing a straightforward, I don't know, a flight, hotel accommodation, fair enough. If you want to tailor make something where you put a tour in there, you then go on to a cruise, you pick up a car hire, you pick up a camper home, you know, that type of thing. You get a rail journey and put it in. You can't do that on one website. There's nobody there. There are bespoke tours that just different companies have put together. But for something truly unique to you, tailored to the number of nights that you want when you want to go, you need somebody like a personal travel agent, personal travel advisor to do it.
Cool. And I can imagine, actually, and I suppose it goes back to your original point about people not having enough time to be able to do it. You've got four or five different websites that you need to tackle with, four or five different bits to kind of sort out, paperwork to fill in, details to fill in, all of this kind of stuff. But actually, if you go to someone like yourself, you've got one person. You've got one set of details. You know, you've got less time to do that for the admin side of it, as well as to find stuff, as well as protecting it, because I'm sure you'll have four different types of protection if the holiday doesn't come through.
Well, that's it. Your protection nowadays, you've got various trust bonding systems. ABTA and ATOL are the main ones that people are probably aware of. Mm-hmm. I think people, you know, fair play to everybody who does their research. I love people who research their holidays. There's a load of people out there that know more about their holidays than what I do, you know, when they come to me. I know they do. But the thing is, when they've done that, it's the protection of it. How do you know you've got the best room? How do you know you've got the best price? Trivago says you have, but you're buying one room. When you're buying through an agency or a person from a large organization, so I'm, for example, part of the co-op, we're a huge organization, we have huge buying power. Who's going to get the best rate room? You buying one room or me buying thousands a year?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I would say to people. It's not for one minute to say, don't book your holiday on the internet. Those people aren't my customers. There's always going to be people that do it. What I do find is people who do book their own holidays, when it all goes pear-shaped in light of the things that have just happened, like ash clouds, coronavirus, 9/11, airlines failing, they have to come to somebody like me to assist them, to help them. And I've seen some cases where people have lost lots of money when all they could have done was picked up the phone to somebody who would have put it together, and for the sake of 20 quid, it would have been protected. The company would have brought them back on the flight, put them up in the hotel, and they probably wouldn't have lost as much money as they had doing it separately.
It's funny because people will protect their businesses with insurance, and people will protect their kind of their staff with HR policies and that kind of side of it. But would you protect your own holiday? It's quite scary when you think about it like that.
You'd be amazed the number of people who don't take insurance. I think there's 28% of people don't take insurance. And I would say, if you can't afford insurance, you can't afford to go on holiday.
No, true.
Full stop.
True.
I'm not advocating, by my insurance. I'm just saying, please, anybody out there, anybody listening to this, if you ever go away, please take insurance. You don't realise until you get to another country. Yes, they will cover you under reciprocal care. When we were obviously in the European market. Yes, we had reciprocal healthcare, but there are certain things it will not cover. If you're knocked down and you have an accident, you break your leg and your arm, somebody's got to fly you back. Somebody's got to protect you.
Eek. Eek, eek, eek. So, yeah, cover yourself. Cover yourself. Over the course of the time that you've been doing this, there must have been loads of different trends happening in terms of destinations and kind of travel arrangements and that kind of stuff. What kind of trends are around at the moment, and what can you see coming up in the near future?
Trends at the moment are sort of people are getting more adventurous. So there's a lot more adventure-style holidays coming to the forefront. People want experiences. They don't just want to go and fly and flop. They want to meet a local person, perhaps meet their family, sit down for dinner with them, you know, experience the culture, you know, help make wine in Italy, you know, do cooking, that, this type of thing. Sustainability, you know, going to countries where they have elephants, but they're actually looking after them now rather than making them work doing trekking and things for tourism, which is just wrong. Same with animals all over the world where they've been exploited now. People are now looking after them and visiting these sanctuaries and seeing what we can do to make these animals. I'm a great with animals. I love the whole idea of, yeah, go and see them. Go and see them in their natural habitat, though. You know, don't be handing out a fiver to have a picture took with a monkey. Please don't do it. You know,
no.
If you fuel that type of tourism, then people will continue to do it. If you don't, you don't do it, then, you know, I want it to be ethical. I want things to be good for everybody, not just the traveller, but for all the creatures and all the people in the world. I'm sounding like
love
this
it.
World now, aren't I?
No, it's good, it's good. And off air, we were talking about kind of going on holiday and spending time with your relatives of different ages. Do you want to kind of expand a little bit about that?
Yeah,
you used a fancy word that I couldn't remember.
Oh, multi-generational holidays are sort of a hit.
That's
word.
The one.
We're finding more and more people are going as group holidays. So they're going granny, granddad, children and grandkids. Mm-hmm. So it's then finding a holiday which suits all those people's needs and wants. So you find like Disney's a great example. You know, nan and granddad can enjoy it. Mum and dad definitely do. And the kids are overwhelmed with it. But they get as much joy together as a family. So you find that the likes of Disney, cruise ships, particular sort of hotels that have adult areas but also cater for families are doing very well. It's the multi-generational thing is I think people are realizing their time is valuable, and that whereas they would spend that week on their own now, they're thinking, yeah, you know, I want to spend it with my family, I want to pass on my wealth, I want to enjoy it with them now rather than leaving it when I die, you know. So
makes
for example,
sense.
You know, my dad, for example, my dad's not very well, but my dad, we go on holiday together. Now, if you'd said to me 10, 15 years ago, oh, you'll go on your dad on holiday with your dad two or three times a year, I would have been like, I'd have probably raised my eyebrows. But we've had some wonderful experiences. So we've been on the Norfolk Broads on a boat. We've been to Warners, this type of thing. We've been on steam trains. So things that people can enjoy as a whole family are really much up high there. New trends that are coming through, who knows? I think the virtual reality world, I think the whole virtual reality world, there's one company that I met last year, they can give you a set of goggles now.
Yeah,
don't tell me how the technology works, but they will literally put you on the holiday with them.
Yeah,
and play you your experience that you can have with them. So I think there'll be a lot more sort of virtual sort of marketing people.
Completely agree.
It's difficult to say.
Any kind of new places that are kind of not really explored yet, but or starting to just be explored?
New places that were probably nowhere near we could get near to years ago, places like the Galapagos, Antarctica, Arctic. You've got little islands off, you know, more accessible little islands off Cambodia, like Songsar Island, places like that. People are getting more adventurous. You know, Madagascar. Years ago, these were like luxury. Only very rich people would have gone to them. They are now within the realms of normal people. So cruise ships have been built that will take you to the Arctic. for the public rather than just people who are doing expeditions. Accessibility to the Galapagos, it's still controlled, but if you've got enough money, me and you can go there. It's not priced out of the market anymore, whereas it used to be. I suppose the next place would be space, won't it?
I suppose in a few years' time, yeah.
You know, people, they're building aircraft now that they reckon will go into sort of the stratospheres of space and get you down into Australia within 2 hours. So you'll go up, the world will move, and then you'll come down type thing. So I don't know. It's your imagination. How far can your imagination go with regards to travel?
I love it. I love it. So if people wanted to find out more information about you, your business, how can they get in touch with you? Have you got a website? Are you on social media? Let us know.
I'm on social media. So my Facebook page is Linda Reynolds Personal Travel Agent. Take a look on there. I do put some offers on. I always try and put some a little bit more unusual on. I'll put videos on there and I'll tell you about the latest trends and things and where I am around the UK and abroad. I also have a website which is part called idoholidays.co.uk. But from my Facebook page, you can get that information. I'm on Instagram, all over the place, really. But if you put Linda Reynolds into Google, you'll find me. Linda Reynolds, personal travel agent, and I'll come up.
Brilliant. And at this point, I just want to say thank you very much for being the guest today. Let's catch up again later on at different points in time. But just to close the show off, I ask all the guests this. What was your final thought? So what is your one key golden nugget of information that you want to share to finish the show today?
I'd say live today and do it now. Definitely. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Make the most of each day.
On that note, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Linda, for your time today. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks very much, Gary. See you soon. Bye.